event happening on May 10th and the Distinguished Service Award, I think it's May 16th, scheduled for May 16th. I did want to share with the board and with our community as well, we've had two new councils that have been formed. The Superintendent's Community Advisory Council, which is a group of parents who have come together, and we had our first inaugural meeting. That's been a really neat meeting. The first meeting really focused on introductions and a little bit about communication, capturing some feedback from our parents about district and school communications, and they generated some really good ideas that we're going to explore. And then the other is our Staff Communications Council, and that has had two meetings so far. We did some introductions and some idea generating, and then dug in a little bit to committee communications at our second meeting. And so that's been a really good opportunity, again, to connect in kind of a new and different way. We'll have one more meeting of that council as well, where we'll look at some planning for the upcoming school year. One other update for our board is that I did have the opportunity to meet with our village manager, Dave Fieldman, to get an update on the village planning of facilities. We know that we have been talking about our facilities for a while, and we continue to make improvements. The village does as well. There were several options before the council that they were considering to redo their downtown area for some possible redevelopment. It looks like their chosen option right now is that townhouse kind of redevelopment, which will mean that there'll be some redevelopment right there along Washington Street, just south of the tracks, and then there will also be Village Hall and the police station being redeveloped as well. Dave Fieldman indicated that they are interested in partnering with us if we have any facility needs that might be able to be incorporated. Based on their current plans, though, the space that they'll have to share will be relatively limited. We may, though, be able to use some of their Village Hall space for some of our meetings. So some of our larger meetings, that might be a good opportunity to expand some of our seating. Tonight it appears we have enough seats, but there are times where we have more community members here and we'd like to make sure that they're comfortable and able to participate as well. So that might be something that we wish to explore in May or June as we build next year's calendar. But I'm excited they continue to want to partner with us and explore those opportunities. I think that concludes my report for this evening. We have a couple other things that I'm looking forward to discussion on. So, are there any questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Next is monthly business. David Bond.
Thank you. Last month, I know there were a portion of time when state vouchers occurred for mandated categorical payments. And sure enough, for that board meeting, the state did voucher that payment. That raised the amount that the state of Illinois owes District 58 to $2.5 million.
Sorry to interrupt, but just for those who don't know, the way it works is that the state vouchers it. It's like writing a check, but they're not releasing it to us. The system that David has access to, he can go in and see when they've written the check, but we still don't have it yet. So, sorry.
That's a great analogy. It's like writing a check, giving it to someone, saying, just don't cash it until I tell you it's okay.
It's not okay.
So I am anticipating a shortfall in state revenue due to the delayed payments for this year. Revenues, though, are running, a little bit of a deficit for this year. Expenditures are tracking as anticipated. The Fed recently increased the federal funds rate, and it appears likely to continue to raise interest rates for the foreseeable future. As opportunities arise for the district to take advantage of investments with higher yields, I will do so. And it'll be nice to see even a slight increase in interest earnings. On the flip side, though, any future borrowing that the district might choose to do would likely be more expensive. There has been some movement in the General Assembly on school funding reform. Senator Menard introduced legislation based on the evidence-based funding model into the Shell Bill SB1. Representative Davis sponsored House Bill 2808, which is also based on the evidence-based funding model. That bill has recently moved out of committee for consideration by the full House. The future of these bills is uncertain. They may be slightly amended. They may be majorly amended as they continue on. But at the moment, they do hold the prospect of improving equity and adequacy in public funding in Illinois. I'd like to just read a short little excerpt out of a blog posting from the Illinois Association of School Boards, Deputy Executive Director Ben Schwarm, talking a little bit about the General Assembly, and as they are taking their break, sort of where things are. And again, it's just a couple little snippets out of what he wrote. He writes, first, let's start with what the legislature has not done. Number one on that list would be approving a state budget. Illinois will soon be at 2 full years without an adopted balanced budget. So what has been done? We can start with the introduction of over 6,000 bills, many of which would establish new programs and directives that would add to state spending, which is already in deficit mode, or ideas that pass the cost on to local governments and school districts that are already suffering due to the budget situation and years of underfunding. About a dozen bills have been approved by committees that would add new requirements for school districts. Some things would be substantial, such as adding new instruction and courses in elementary and middle schools for civics, work ethics, and cursive writing, which would require additional staff, space, and time. Many other proposed mandates are on a smaller scale. However, all increase the load on public schools and usurp local control. Now is a good time for school board members and administrators to tell their legislators that the real work of the state needs to be done. Adopt a true budget. Forget about new mandates on school districts and programs for state and local governments until the fiscal health of Illinois is addressed. And again, that was Ben Schwarm from the Illinois Association of School Boards. With that, I conclude my report. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Next up is the Policy Committee. Sally?
We have two items on for first reading this evening, just some minor tweaks on both of them, and just a reminder to the board that we are required by a state statute to review our bullying policy every year, so that's part of the reason why we did the review on Policy 5138. Then there's four additional items that are recommended for final action later on in the agenda. Things that the board has seen before. If we have any questions, we can certainly address them then. And then a couple of other things that we touched on during the committee. We had a robust discussion regarding a new student search and seizure policy that we're going to continue to discuss later on this month. And then we are going, even though it is recommended for action later on, we are going to continue to discuss Policy 1150 based upon some comments we heard from reception of visitors at last month's meeting. I think that's all I have.
Thank you. Next is a first reading of Policy 5131.1, Students, Bus Conduct, as recommended by the Policy Committee. Is there a motion to approve for first reading Policy 5131.1 regarding bus conduct and place it on the May Board agenda for final approval?
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried to approve the first reading of Policy 5131.1 and place it on the May Board agenda for final approval. Next is a first reading of Policy 5138, Students, Prevention of and Response to Bullying, Intimidation, and Harassment, recommended by the Policy Committee. Is there a motion to approve for first reading Policy 5138 regarding prevention of and response to bullying, intimidation, and harassment and place it on the May Board agenda for final approval?
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried to approve the first reading of Policy 5138 and place it on the May Board agenda for final approval. Next up is a report of the Legislative Committee. John Miller.
Okay, we met right after last month's board meeting, so I kind of will be updated from the Legislative Committee yesterday about the legislative breakfast. That update was given to this board last month. That was a very successful event. We did welcome three new members to that in our effort to expand community involvement. We had three new members that are community members, parents, that will be joining us. And one of the things that's coming up, the more community members that we have, is a little bit of a rehash of a problem that we've talked about over the years, and I'm really going to ask the new board when it gets seated to talk about the timing of these. The Legislative Committee meets at like 3:45 in the afternoon.
You know, like the insurance committee meets at different times in the afternoon. And if we're going to want more community involvement, we're going to have to try to figure out a way where there's ample time or times that are a little bit more convenient. Even some of the morning ones, if you have kids and you're trying to get to school, they're at 7:30 in the morning, and 3:45, if you're a working community member, it's hard to get from work. So I see a couple of the new board members here and the ones of us that are continuing, that those are things that we'll have to think about for next year. There were some good suggestions, some staff members and Carrie we talked to also about, is there a common day that might work instead of having them spread out? Could we have a meeting, these meetings like scheduled, the three committees that meet like on the regular board meeting night, but only everybody starts at 6 and then we go into the regular board meeting? But things to think about. I only put it out now because we had a good discussion there. All three of those new community members said, ooh, I'd love to be on here. I'm on here. I'll make time for it, but it's going to be hard to make those times. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there, not necessarily legislative committee driven, but just for everybody to kind of think about. And that was our last meeting for this year. So depending on how we reorganize and what committees we have for next year, we'll have to wait till the next school year. I guess I should qualify that last meeting for this school year. We have meetings for this year still, but they won't start till fall.
Thank you, John. Next up is a financial advisory committee. Can I ask you, David? I won't do it justice.
Yes. The committee met on April 3rd. We welcomed three new committee members at that time. Did some housekeeping and talking about the schedule for those committee meetings, which will continue on after the new board is seated to be finalized. The committee briefly discussed summer projects, and we noted that summer projects for this year are a little bit lighter than they have been, or less extensive than in some years. We also had a brief conversation around anticipated facility needs, and that will be a topic that I'll be spending more time talking about in a couple weeks at the budget workshop. The committee discussed the state of Illinois mandated categorical payments, which I talked about in the last several board meetings and talked about during the treasurer's report tonight as well. The committee discussed health insurance and some results from a recent insurance committee meeting and how insurance claims are running higher than anticipated and higher than they historically had. So at that time, we're looking at running a $200,000 deficit in the medical reserve fund based on the projected numbers for this year. There was a insurance committee meeting today where those numbers look a little bit better, and we continue to monitor that, but that's late-breaking information from right before the board meeting. The committee discussed the fiscal 18 budget and some of the budget drivers and key things that will be moving as we look at next year. That will also be something I'll be talking about in a couple weeks at the budget workshop. Finally, the committee discussed the Illinois General Assembly grand bargain that budget compromise failed and noted that some of those bills are moving forward individually. And certainly I'll keep the board up to date on those that impact our finances and operations in the future.
Thank you. The Meet and Confer Strategic Plan Committee will meet April 13th, is Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next up is discussion. First would be facilities, the Lester School Feasibility Study.
Thank you. I will actually hand it off to David in just a second, but as I mentioned in my report, this is our opportunity to hear a little bit from our architects. Really the charge was for them to examine the building, knowing more about our needs that we have identified, meet with Karen and meet with David and Ken and really look at the building and see where there were opportunities for an addition and what that addition in those spaces might look like, as well as what those costs, high-level estimates, costs might be. And so They are here to share information with us, and I know David was going to offer some additional insight, too. So, David, is there anything else before we introduce our architects that...
Well, I was going to go ahead and say much of the same and then introduce the architects.
Okay, well, go ahead then. I didn't mean to steal your thunder. It's just so exciting.
We retained White & Company, the district's architect, to conduct this feasibility study. And Brad Paulson, who's here, is their practice leader in education. He's also a board member at District 200, so he has experience both as an architect as well as a board member in thinking about facilities. We're very excited that Amy Fuller is the architect that he brought to work on this project. Amy lives here in Downers Grove, is a product of Downers Grove, and is excited to be able to do a project here in her hometown, where what the board decides actually matters to her, affects her property taxes, and all those kinds of things. So, but she's really excited to be able to work on this project. So with that, Amy and Brad, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you for that great introduction.
That's not going to do anything because it's over here.
Okay.
I will pick it for you.
So we started about 7 weeks ago, a little over 7 weeks ago. We met the first at the school with David and Ken and some of the people from the school district talking a little bit about some of the needs. I had a quickly follow-up meeting a few days later with Aaron to talk a little bit more about the needs again. Reviewed our master planning process, the master plan from 2011, where we went through the assessment, compared some of the needs for Lester School that were identified. And then we went through a series of conversations internally here at White & Company to go over a variety of different scenarios. We looked at the building space utilization. One of the key issues when you're doing any kind of addition on a site, especially as complicated as the Lester site, was to look at the site conditions and some of the complications with impact of drop-off and pick-up and stormwater, of course. We did look at some initial budgets for the variety of different scenarios we had developed, and we also developed some pretty detailed initial high-level concepts. We actually have four concepts plus a version A, so it's like 4.5 concepts, which Amy's going to show with you. Show to you here in a moment. So we met again April 5th, just a few weeks ago, last week tomorrow, to go over some initial concepts, got some feedback.
Sorry.
But here were the Here were the key issues that we heard through this process that we tried to resolve. So first off, certainly bringing the all-day kindergarten program back to Lester School was one of the key things. And we have a couple different options of how to do that. Certainly heard a lot about some of the smaller group spaces, intervention spaces, breakout spaces that are so critical and so lacking in schools that are the age of Lester, you know, the types of instruction that it was never planned for when Lester School was originally constructed. Certainly, specifically with a school that has a multi-purpose room, you have more and more conflicts with the capacity of physical education as well as dining, so that was something to look at some options. Accessibility with the toilets, especially if there's no significant toilet facilities over on the east side of the school. And then finally, I don't really remember what it is until you click this.
Well, I did click it and nothing happened. So. Oh, there we go.
Storage. Teacher storage, you can't leave that out. That's one of the most
important
things. So teacher storage and really building storage too. So a variety of different issues that we were going to try to develop some concepts for. Some of these solutions solve these issues a little bit better than others, and we're going to show you lots of different concepts that are our first pass at looking at those. We can take a lot of feedback. We can develop some more concepts as we go forward. So I'm going to turn it over to Amy.
Right now what you're looking at is the existing site plan of Lester. The dash line limits the property lines over at Lester. So up to the north, which is the top of the page, north, is your parent drop-off and pick-up, which also serves as the hard play area, the playground for the older children in the school, and then the primary children, the hard surface play and playground over on the left side of the page, which is the west. So as we are going through this, the existing floor plan layout, we noticed a couple areas of opportunity that potential buildings could be constructed, either on the east or the west side. It seemed the most logical from a couple standpoints, just site layout as well as location. The first scenario, we're going to look at a kindergarten addition, which is a two classroom addition along with a gross motor area and resurfacing that hard surface play over to the west side of the site, as well as some renovation of the existing classroom space to create more resource spaces and small group areas. That kind of oval that popped up is an area of what I'm calling opportunity. Currently, there's a resource classroom that's in that corridor space. Well, it could be used as a small intervention space. It's not closed off as a classroom, so the walls and wall that's dealing with some issues. So moving that resource space into a classroom seems more appropriate and creating an opportunity for small group activity in that location set. This option was around including the renovation work, is about $2 million to $2.4 million.
That's this version.
That's right here. This version right here. What I'm going to do in the next scenario, we're calling scenario 1A, is we're taking out any kind of renovation into the existing building and just looking at the kindergarten addition. And that drops the cost of construction down from to $1.7 to $2 million range. And next slide. So that star that's popping up is what we're considering the gross motor area. This is going to serve as a multifunctional space. Currently, kindergarten Lester only can house one full day session of kindergarten. And that kindergarten has to eat lunch in their classroom because there's not enough capacity in gym area. The area where star is indicated will be able to not only be used as a gross motor area, but also as a place for the kindergartners to eat lunch outside of their classroom. It can seat between 80 and 100 kids in that space. This is an example of ways to use corridors and hallways in an efficient way, so it's more than just classroom, extending the classroom out into other places of the building that are useful. This example is an example we did up in Forest Park where this gross motor activity, indoor secure play, and it also gets transformed into a lunchroom space for the children. In scenario two, we're now moving the addition off to the east side and creating a multi-purpose. And the multi-purpose space would be serve as a gym for Lester as well as the cafeteria. Transforming the existing gym into classroom spaces and adding some additional toilets off to the east side of the building, which currently is unlimited. This scenario is between $3.6 to $4.2 million. And again, with the areas of opportunity in the corridor, using those for small group activity. In your own district, this is Pierce Downer, an example of small group activity in the corridor space for NAC collaborative learning. Scenario three, taking a look at creating a classroom addition off to the east. What this will do is it kind of consolidates grade levels and creates a primary wing and a secondary wing. And also, it allows for a three-classroom addition along with some resource space that could be expanded into a full-size classroom if needed. Renovating the existing building to include more toilet spaces as well as resources and small group activity. Taking the existing, inside the existing gym, demolishing the stage and using that as an expanded gym space to increase capacity not only for PE but also for the cafeteria. This option is $3.4 to $4 million. And then the next option kind of similar kind of concept.
Sorry, I was pressing the button and nothing was happening.
It's okay.
So sorry.
No problem.
Okay, there we go.
This is an example of kind of extending, again, a learning common where there's a lot of glass into the classroom space. What this does is it allows small group activity to happen in the corridor while learning is happening in the classroom and teachers can supervise what's going on outside in the corridor. Flexibility within a classroom, being able to subdivide spaces to create smaller group areas as well as full classroom sizes, folding partitions. The last example, scenario four, this is similar to the previous example, except we're not adding as much addition. We're looking at only a three classroom addition, consolidating the grade levels onto each wing again, adding some multi-user toilets as well as a resource space, renovating one of the existing classrooms to serve that purpose. And this scenario is $2.2 million.
Jeez, sorry.
So $2.5 million of the work.
Figures off figure.
Now, in addition to the scenarios that I presented today to you, we do understand there are a long-range facility expenditures that extend out to 2030, and those for Leicester are $2.7 million, and those include site improvements, infrastructure upgrades, and interior renovations not presented.
Okay, so going forward, last slide. So here we are tonight. We've presented four and a half concepts to you, open for discussion. And as we look forward about considering what would the process be if you wanted to have the work completed for opening the school August of 18, sometime this will be recognized with a new board being seated in the budget workshop coming up. There's going to be lots of discussions probably around this particular topic. So look for some kind of direction, ideally from the board in May or maybe even June, to allow us to launch into the design process. If you want to kind of put through the next series of slides, just all the way through it. Once the school year starts again, late August, early September, have an update to the board, complete the design process through the balance of 2017, go out for bids so that you would be able to start construction right when school lets out, or not when school lets out, when the snow lets out, if we have snow next year.
It's guaranteed
March,
we have
March or April of next year, hopefully to get work completed before the start of school. So schedule lines up fine. We recognize you've got some conversations you need to have as when the next board gets seated, but ideally we'd be looking for a direction if you choose to proceed with a project sometime late May, early June, how that lines up with whatever your regular schedule for. So with that, we'll open up for questions.
I have a couple. In the scenarios where you just added kindergarten rooms, are there bathrooms in those rooms?
There are bathrooms in the kindergarten rooms.
Okay.
They're just not individual. Used for the entire school.
Right. Okay. And then the other one was the scenario where you put the use the gym for classrooms.
Okay.
Are there any windows in there?
Yes. So that is one of the drawbacks of using the gym space. There isn't any exterior walls in that
okay.
space. We could plan to have either skylights or some sort of daylighting from above, but not visual access to that.
And from the facility side, we don't always love cutting holes in roofs.
Right.
With skylights,
yeah,
because no matter how well you do that, sometimes they still leak and they're more difficult to maintain and everything else. So.
Right, I agree.
Plus, you've got a higher ceiling. Obviously, I guess you're dropping that height.
Could
you repeat your question, please?
I'm sorry. The height of the ceiling in the gym is
huge.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a huge cube. I'm assuming you're dropping the ceiling somehow in there, the false ceiling.
Yeah, we would drop an acoustical ceiling come in there.
Which wouldn't be very conducive to skylights anyway.
That's right.
There's some
up there. Yeah, I think the key thing is we could find a way to get natural light in that space. We wouldn't, the students wouldn't have views out the outside, which is another benefit. So it's It can be done, but it may be not the perfect classroom. Yeah. You can't see in that plan that it does create the opportunity for another entrance software to more Sunday
school. Oh, okay. Okay.
Or the split between the fourth grade classrooms.
Kind of along those same lines, if we look at scenario 3, I don't know if David, you can pull that up. Those fifth grade classrooms there, those that are marked as fifth grade classrooms, natural light there, is that also a concern?
So then the daylight coming through those classrooms run north and south, so the southernmost classroom would not be affected at all. The northern classroom, if you can tell from the diagram, there's an arrow pointing through there. The idea would be what we call is borrowed light. The glass would remain in place. There would be glass on the exterior of the addition, so you could have that transparency. You could see through the corridor and into the outside.
And that's what this image is kind of called.
I'm clicking. Too many times to go somewhere else.
So right. Something similar to this picture where there's glass and it brings in actually quite a bit of daylight. This example has a skylight in the corridor, but you can see a lot of daylight in those classrooms as well.
So in the scenario in grade 4 where you would add it to the side, that's taking over where the playground currently is, right? So it's in the students. Where would they play?
We're not using the entire playground. Hard skate playground, so they would still have access to that hard surface play. We don't interrupt any of the swings that are over in that area. It does impede a little bit on the parent pickup and drop off of both 3 and 4 options. It impedes more on the gross or on the multi-purpose room addition, the gym addition, because it's a bigger volume space than it does with the classroom additions.
And it's important to note in all these areas, we're not going up. And, you know, the building wasn't constructed with the ability to put a second floor on top. So we have to go out. And fortunately, we do have a large site, but we have things on the site that are close to the building. So we do end up consuming some of that space around. We do believe that further out in the northeast, we do have a detention area that we would never be able to expand on, but there are possibilities that if we wanted to develop more of the green space that we have, we could do that. That's not contemplated in these designs, however.
Well, the more green space you take when you're running into stormwater, if I remember from Pierce, we were able to avoid a lot of that because we went into the hard surface area. So we
didn't have to, and that's exactly where we're building on it, mostly in the hard surface area.
As long as you're already impervious, stay impervious.
Correct.
I like the creativity and trying to look at all options, but I'm going to throw a wet blanket on the reality of anything above $2 million is probably not realistic without a referendum, because I don't believe we can really issue additional debt without seriously hampering our future roofs and continuing maintenance. So speaking for me, and I know we got to wait till the next board gets seated, but you're looking at 1 or 1A is all I can, that's all I can support. Our mission here is to solve the kindergarten problem and to try to get a couple of the flow things done. But most of these things that we're trying to solve here, every school needs. There's a lot of schools need a multi-purpose room. Almost every school needs a bigger gym. But there's just, that would have to be a referendum, and we'd have to look at that a little more holistically in the district. So my personal opinion is, you know, you got a budget of $2 million. What do you give us? That's where I'm going to be heading with this.
The question I had when I looked at it was, do we have opinion from the administration yet as to what, to John's point, you know, what we came in with, what do we really need?
Mm-hmm. I think so far we've gotten some feedback. We've been able to provide some feedback, and they made some adjustments there. I think at the next step really is to look at our finances at the April workshop meeting. And you're right, there are some things here that are almost double in cost of what I think we were initially thinking in terms of of our budget and our ability to actually fund a project completion, and that's important. And so we will have to really look at which of these options gives us the best solution for Leicester School, checks off the most of our needs while staying within a budget that the board can not only be comfortable with, but quite frankly support, because we do want to see this this project come to completion.
No, there's not one in particular.
Sorry. So to answer your question specifically, there's not one in particular yet that the administration has said this is the one we want, or this is really best addressing our needs. We need to study it a little bit further.
Okay.
I know you will too.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sorry. When we looked at the facilities a few meetings ago, Leicester needed some work with the HVAC and plumbing. Would that be taken care of in this?
No.
Can it be?
Well, it can, but not for the same price.
Okay.
Yeah. So one of the
deal.
Well, remember, they're just doing the architectural work. They're not doing the construction work.
A donation from an alumni that happens to be an architect.
One of the things that Amy noted was that as we look at the facility needs, there are other facility needs outside of.
Right.
This space issue, and I would love to be able to tell you that we had $3.8 million worth of stuff, and $2 million of it can get taken care of at the same time that we're doing this. That's just not the reality. So these designs, as you look at this one, for example, all of the money is really getting dropped into the new addition space, the HVAC system that's associated with that, and a few hundred thousand dollars on some new toilets. So that's where the money is. We're not touching anything else in the building where we have other piping and HVAC issues, electrical issues. So unfortunately, there just isn't enough overlap with this project.
Slide 16, that's what the $2.7 million is talking about. That's not included, right? That's mentioned that there's $2.7 million in other improvements.
Correct.
That's right.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
That on the bottom
right.
is in addition to the cost of any one of those 1, 2, 3, or 4.
That's correct.
And those are the costs that we're trying to manage throughout the
district. Should be online.
We've got a few years on that.
Just as an example, why we came up with this solution, if you'd like to wonder why we're trying to add them all in the section of all the kindergarten, why we had 3 6th grade classrooms, the point of that is to bring up some numbers around in the classrooms to create 3 full-length kindergarten rooms. So it might not look on the surface like we're meeting the number one priority, but we are. So
And the other thing I think that's important is that there's a critical need for some of that resource space, the intervention space, the breakout space. And so each of these solutions does offer some additional space, some in better ways than others, but it is... Those are things that we have to keep in mind, too, along with just kind of the flow of the building.
Well, I know we were really happy with the way Pierce Dunner turned out. If it could be anything like that, it'd be great.
Thank you for taking the time and putting these together.
Can I ask a few questions?
You mentioned in your report ADA toilets. I know this would be obviously a really sizable addition. So are there other ADA accommodations that need to be made in the building, and are those costs factored into the estimates that you're giving us for these options?
So the ADA toilets are just were put on the list because there weren't one that accommodate students in the building. We didn't hear during our conversations with staff and the district that there were any other. We walked the building and we didn't see anything that really stood out to us when we were touring the building.
Okay. And then the other consideration, just to kind of point out, is I'm a huge proponent of natural light. I think it's fantastic that kids can get that natural light. But just something for the administration to consider and perhaps consult with our village partners on safety considerations for staff and students if we're incorporating walls of windows.
So for security reasons, like if you have a lockdown, those shades will come down or blackout shades.
Was there one end of the building that was a little that's more cost efficient to add per square foot?
So the kindergarten addition in scenario one, the main gas line actually runs along that west side of that building. So we would have to, as part of the cost that was presented today in the both of those scenario one and one A, included the relocation of that gas main. So it's a costly endeavor. However, the east side of the building, you have a lot of grade changes on site. So you have to deal with exterior ramps and stairs in order to get down to
Just as a clarification, too, and John, you mentioned that the long-range facility expenditures that are listed, I don't remember the number of that slide, that $2.7 million. Listed for Lester, similar figures are listed out and have been spelled out in that facilities at a glance document that has been developed. That is not unique to Lester, really across our district. We have similar costs that we need to be planning for, not only in addition to the Lester addition. We need to be thinking long term through 2030 and 2040, which seems like a really long time out, but in reality, that's where we can budget our current funding out, and we know about how much we have available to us, and we need to make sure that we're thinking forward. And John, there is a point at which to tackle all of the facility needs, we likely will need to ask our community for some additional funds, not specific to the addition, but for all of the facility needs that we have across our district. At some point, we likely will need to ask for some additional funding from our community, because there is really no other way. Our revenue is not going up. If anything, it's going down from the state, and we are primarily funded locally. So the addition is not going to make or break that. I should point out we have some really significant costs coming up that we'll need to plan for. Again, those are costs down the road, but by 2025, we're going to have to be talking about that. So just to kind of put that out there for our current board, for our community, that's something down the road we're going to have to look at in order to address all of the facility needs that we have.
I would also note that this $2.7 million that White has put up there is a different number than what you will see in a couple weeks from Ken and Jeff and from me when we talk about some of our facility needs. So we've taken a look at projects between now and about 2040. And we've used a cost inflation factor to try and estimate what those future costs will be based on likely dates when we imagine the work might be done or when we believe is really the last date at which it reasonably should be done. So you'll see some slightly different numbers. There are some large numbers when we get across the district. You know, think around the $100 million kind of range over the time between now and about 2040 or 2042. Some of which will be at Lester, some of which will be at other facilities. So that's just a little preview of what we'll talk about in a couple of weeks, but the number that you may see later will be different from $2.7 million. So there's quite a number of projects and ongoing things such as roof replacements that, while they're good right now, between now and the early 2040s, will come up again. And it will be a significant expense in each of our buildings.
Carrie, you may want to do some research on the history of the success rate of referendums for facilities improvements. It's my understanding it's been a very, very long time
it's been a very
since
long time.
It's
been, I think the last I heard, a prior board member had said it had been more than 30 years, which would be now about 40 years since a referendum has passed in order to raise funds for facility improvements. Just something to research, perhaps, for the next board.
They're usually easier to pass than for education kind of thing.
I don't want to keep you guys waiting. I would like to say thank you. It's very exciting to see. I mean, the new learning spaces and stuff where you guys did at Pierce Downer. I wish we could find an alumni as a rich internet billionaire and do it all. As John said, we're obviously very budget constrained, and we, you know, the future board's going to need to focus on the needs that we have. But I absolutely love looking at the newer spaces and the flexible learning and the breakout areas. It really is. I wish we could do more of it. You know.
Great design ideas.
Unfortunately, our schools do look like they look like when I went, because most of them are.
Our newest building was built in 1969.
50 years, I know.
We got one approaching 100.
Yeah. So if there's nothing else from the board, then thank you very much. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Next item is the 2017-2018 school calendar. Carrie, would you like to?
Thank you. This is coming before the board, really. We're looking for some feedback from our board. Basically, we'd like to make some adjustments. We know that the calendar has already been approved for the upcoming year. We did that early in anticipation of the high school district moving their start date up a little bit. And we wanted to make sure that our start date lined up with theirs as best as possible, that our holidays lined up with theirs as well. And so we don't want to adjust that at all. But we would like the board to consider making a couple of revisions. Throughout this school year, we have been working really, really hard to ensure that our teachers have the support that they need for professional development and for collaboration. That has taken a toll, though. It is hard for teachers to be out of their classes. It's hard for them to create sub-plans and then be able to stay focused on the professional development and collaboration of that afternoon's activities. It's also been a huge strain on us because there's such a sub-crisis. So our students are being taught by substitutes, which, you know, quite frankly, isn't always ideal. We'd love to have our teachers in our classrooms always, but we know that our teachers also need that professional development and collaboration. Layer on top of that a sub shortage that's happening not only throughout our county but throughout the state, and it's been a struggle, and it's really creating some challenges within our system. We do not want to limit the amount of professional development and collaboration that's happening for our teachers, but we do want to be really purposeful in how we're planning for that. So there's a couple of suggestions we've been floating around. One is making sure that we are aligning each and every one of our institute days so that those days are as useful as possible in really capturing that time when all of our teachers are available. We do currently have one half day built into our calendar. That day for the upcoming school year is scheduled for September 19th. So that's a day where students come for half of the day. Then there's a lunch break for our teachers. Students go home for lunch and spend the rest of their day doing, I'm sure, wonderful activities with their families and otherwise. But our staff come back for 3 hours worth of professional development and school improvement activities. We used to have four, maybe there was a time when there was even five of those half days where staff were participating in those. Those have dwindled down over the years. And what our proposal would be is to add back two additional half days that would allow our teachers the opportunity to have professional development and collaboration during that day. We have enough days within our calendar and hours of student contact time that we can do that without adding days. We don't have to add days to the work calendar for our teachers, and we don't have to add days for student attendance either. Basically, the state allows us to integrate these school improvement days because they know how valuable they are, and based on the current contact time, we're able to do that. So what we would be proposing, if the board were willing to support us in this, would be adding back in a January half day of school improvement. So students would come in the morning and then leave, and staff would have 3 hours of professional development and school improvement activities in the afternoon. And then another day in April. What we'd be looking at is a Friday, knowing that, you know, half days are not easy for families, and we understand that as well. if it's a Friday, maybe that would lead into a nice weekend for our families is kind of our thinking there. But we really think that this time is exceptionally valuable. We are and have already started planning for each of our school improvement days and our teacher work day to make sure that we're capturing as much time there for the kinds of professional development and collaboration that we think is most important and most valuable for our staff. We have to give up a little bit in order to accomplish that as well, and we're willing to do that. And so we're really looking for some feedback. I don't want to rush this decision by our board, but I also want to acknowledge that for our families and for our staff, we want to start communicating and planning. So if this is something that the board were in favor of, I'd like to get some feedback from you today and possibly bring this back for a revision at either the April workshop or soon thereafter, so again we can start communicating that to our families. We know that child care is sometimes an issue for our families. There has been some growth in child care options for our families. The Park District has added a new program that is available to families as well. And throughout our community, there's a couple of different child care options, in addition to each school having access to the Champions program as well. So we hope that just adding those two additional days won't be as taxing as maybe a couple years ago it would have been for our families with those new options. So I'm looking for some feedback. Our administrative team is really excited about the opportunity to explore this with the board. We're looking for some feedback and, most importantly, some direction in terms of next steps.
I think it's a great idea. I'm all for it. I think it will really help the teachers out. You don't have to write sub-plans for the day. And with them being attached to Fridays, you know, the parents know that they can take that half day on Friday and maybe make a nice long weekend of it. So I think it's a great idea. It's one of the ways we've got to do it because of the sub situation.
Carrie, just clarify, the staff is in support of the half days.
The staff, yes. I mean, okay. The staff that we've been able to speak to, we did want to put it before the board before we started taking a poll, but I would venture to guess in my early conversations with even our union leadership has indicated that very much it is hard to be out of your classroom when you know that your kids are there. So you're welcome. I mean, I'm sure Craig would be willing to speak if need be, but we didn't go out and poll because, quite frankly, we wanted to get some feedback from our board before we were doing that. We did have breakfast on Friday with our union teachers union leadership, and they indicated it was a
I saw a nonverbal cue over there. So I think,
we also talked on Friday with our principals, and they too indicated support for the idea and the opportunity for them to be able to work with their teachers without all the pulls that happen within a building.
I think that sounds fine. I mean, it sounds like it's a great collaborative effort to get the development that needs to be done, the time that needs to be done for planning, and allow them to grow the way that they need to in order to support the students. And I like the idea of the Fridays as well, trying to tack them onto the long weekend. Just a question, the Fridays that you posed, did you say you were trying to align those with the high schools as well, or is there some flexibility in lining them up with a long weekend or a holiday?
Yeah, the high schools, thank you, John. The high schools take those late start. They do late start Wednesdays. With older students, it's a little easier for them to accomplish
it
that.
Is.
I think that would be incredibly impactful for our students and families at this point to go with a late start. So what they do is every other Wednesday, they start school like an hour late, which gives their staff a lot of time for professional development and collaboration. It's a wonderful model. We were thinking that might be a little too much to try and accomplish here. But we'd love to explore it if somebody wants us to. Yes.
I like the Friday.
Thank you. Yeah, no, they don't align directly with the high school, but our holidays, so our winter break and our spring break align.
They still align, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'm sorry, I think I might have mentioned before that our start date aligns with District 99. And in fact, I don't know
Pretty
if it's
close.
The exact same date, but what we were really aiming for is that winter break and spring break to align.
18th, I think, is the first day.
Well, you 18th. Know my opinion on half days.
I do, John.
Yeah, we do, John.
So.
Please.
What is it? Well, if we're here for students first, the last thing we should be doing is taking them out of the classroom. tack on the 5th and 6th of June, take those 27th and 19th off, you both win best of both worlds. Kids don't lose days and time, you got more time for training. I agree. Teachers should be in the classrooms with their kids, and we shouldn't try to put the sub-lessons, because we all know that's not effective. But, I mean, using this model, take them out every Friday. What the heck, right? Oh, maybe Mondays, too. Maybe just go half days every day.
Tell people that.
But, no, we keep saying that we're here for students first. Illinois already has one of the shortest school years. We have one of the shortest school days. I don't care what the state says the mandate is. We shouldn't be taking kids out of the classroom. It's important for kids to be in the classroom. I'll tell you, those late starts drive me nuts because I'm like, wow, we're going to do more and more late starts at the high school level, so let's take our kids out even more. And, yeah, they started out with 2, then 4, then 5, and then 6, and now they're up to, like, 10. So it does kind of steamroll when you start going down that road. I mean, so if you take them out a half day, then go the 5th. You make up that day. If you're the 5th and the 12th would be your end dates then, but the last day would be June 5th, plus 5 emergency days, then you'd be June 12th. Now you made up the one day, and you still get a half day.
I'm not following. Can you just
okay, you're taking them out of the classroom for a half day on the 27th, and a half day
of April,
okay. And a half day on the 26th. We already had one half day schedule. I think mm-hmm. we just kind of all agreed that that was good.
Mm-hmm.
So to make up one day, add one day at the end of the year.
Yeah, I thank you, John, for that suggestion. For us, it's really important that our teachers have that ongoing opportunity to collaborate and do professional development. So while the first 2 days are really valuable opportunities for our staff, there's only so much that you can take in and plan for and be professionally developed on before you're working with students.
You're missing the idea. You still take a half day on the 27th of April. And a half day, which was the other one we added.
The 26th of January.
The 26th of January. You just add a full day
of
on June 5th.
Attendance. Okay.
Full day of student attendance. That way the students have the exact same amount of classroom time.
Mm-hmm.
And we free up 2 half days. I get it. You don't want to sit in professional development for 6-7 hours. I get it. That's a little much to ask. But I'm just trying to find a way where we're not shortening the school, the time the kids have contact with their teachers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, obviously, so my fellow board members have heard me say this a lot.
No, we understand, John. I mean, it's a very difficult balancing act. I mean, the teachers need to be supported, and they need their time.
No, I support them, yeah.
I know you do. And it's difficult for the families as well. I think you guys have done a good job of trying to balance that here. I like the idea of kind of tacking on to the long weekends or the extra days, but you know that you guys are the professionals, so you know you and the teachers working together, I think provide the best result. Any further input?
Just to address John's suggestion, to add another day onto the 5th would mean tacking an additional work day onto the teacher's calendar and contract, so that certainly is something that we could explore. But in all likelihood, there's obviously some costs associated with that because we have so many days built into the teacher's calendar. The emergency day makes up for a day of non-attendance. So if you have a no-school day because of snow, then staff don't work on that day, so then they work on that emergency day. So there's a specific number of days within the contract that our teachers are contracted to work. So, but with that, with your feedback, I mean, that is certainly something that we can explore. It would take kind of renegotiating the work days.
I'm pretty sure our teachers put in a lot of extra time already.
They do.
So we thank you. We appreciate it.
I'm fine with it. I don't like the half days either, but you know we're at a point where I think the teachers need it, and the sub situation has gotten very difficult. So I'm for it.
Do we have any statistics for the last 5 years each year of how many sub days the district's had. Like, we have 1,000 one year, it's 1,200 this year, or 900 this year. Are we, this, I know we're, I don't know, it's not fair to ask you that number now, but is there...
I don't have that number off the top of my head yet.
I'm not asking for that number now.
But you're looking for that.
Yeah.
We could certainly, yeah, we could certainly see about pulling that. I know for a while... we had quite a few subs, and then we worked to reduce that. And then over the last year, for sure, it's grown because we have had our teachers out for expanded committee meetings, expanded professional development, and expanded collaboration opportunities. So for sure, but I don't have those figures, but I can tell you the line is going to look something like it was up here, and then it came down for a couple of years, and now it's definitely gone back up. And this is one of the ways that we hope to start to address it. This year is quite high. For sure.
That's some data that would help me say, I do look at a sub as not a full, I get, when I went to school, my kids went to school, I know it's a reduction in what you get because you got to get used to what's going on for that day. So, I mean, if we're taking, if the number of sub days has gone up because we're pulling kids out, to me that's the same as giving a kid a half day or a day off anyway. Not completely, but you know where I'm going with that. Everybody knows it's more effective to have your teacher in there.
All right, so we will work on pulling that data for you and see what we're able to draw for you. Thank you for that question. So with that feedback, we'll get that additional information. We will plan to add this to for further discussion and action at the budget workshop, unless the board wishes otherwise.
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Next up is the first reception of visitors. During the first reception of visitors, comments must pertain to agenda items. This is an opportunity for members of the audience to share comments with the board subject to reasonable constraints, but it's not intended to be a time for members of the public to enter into a dialogue with the board. Issues raised during public participations may be added to future agendas or addressed by administrative staff as appropriate. Criticism of individuals is not in order. In accordance with board policies 8022 and 1150, individuals appearing before the board are expected to follow these guidelines. Any person addressing the board shall identify yourself, state your school attendance area, and shall speak as briefly as possible. The board president has authority to determine procedural matters regarding public participation not otherwise in board policy, including time limitations when appropriate. The president is responsible for the orderly conduct of the meeting and shall rule on such matters as the time to be allowed for public discussion and the appropriateness of the remarks to the subject under consideration. At this time, if anyone would like to speak, please stand, state your name and attendance area. No cards.
Hi, my name is Jessica Lee. I'm from they're not subs at school, and it's not necessarily because of professional development, but because of all of the blueprint work with the ELA and math and stuff. Is there any thought to maybe like not taking on school and having to do summer work, where instead of hiring a sub, would you just pay teachers over the summer to build the blueprint, and then you're not pulling them out of the classroom? Or just trying to think of it in a different way and in a different time, because most of the stuff
Absolutely. Actually, I can give some information. There is curriculum work that does occur over the summer. In fact, you mentioned the math blueprint work, and we know that some of that occurred over last summer. We cannot mandate that our teachers participate in that over the summer, and so some of the professional development and collaboration that needs to happen needs to include all of our teachers or grade levels at a time, and so that wouldn't be we wouldn't be able to require that of our teachers currently over the summer. We wouldn't be able to pull them all together. The other piece that's really important to think about is that our teachers need to be doing that work in the context of the work they're doing with students. So much of that math blueprint refinement that's been happening throughout the year has been happening quarterly. And so teachers have the opportunity, after having delivered that instruction for a quarter, then to meet collaborate and review that work and make some adjustments and suggestions to Dr. Rich and his team to refine some of what was there. They deliver the second quarter, and then they're meeting and reviewing that. So that can't happen in the same depth over the summer as it does during the school year. But you bring up a great point, and some of that curriculum work absolutely does get done over the summer as well. There's just, we have to kind of make some choices about where we're obligating teachers to work and the type of work that's getting done, if it's best to do during the school year or best to do over the summer.
Like, if even after school, aren't teachers supposed to be there until 4 o'clock or something? I mean, I don't know how much work you could get done in the last hour at the end of the day, but having them do it in that 1 hour after school or something, because then you're not taking them from the classroom.
If I may clarify, I'd like more than willing to talk to you about this individually. The only blueprint work that has been done during the school day has been when grade levels, as parts of their meeting, have a conversation together. Most of that is tied to their professional development, looking at Metro Chicago Map Initiative, and looking for collaboration to vote before the initiative that were presented. We've only failed three teachers for a half day total for actual blueprint work from one specific grade where a grader from that meeting said, these are challenges that need to be fixed now. We haven't failed any other teachers for specific blueprint work. Most of it has been the professional development with Metro Chicago Map Initiative, like one we had in this room today.
Any other input? Do we need a recess or are we moving on? Good?
Yep.
Okay. Next up are the approval of minutes. Are there any suggested revisions to the minutes as presented in the packet of materials? And if not, is there a motion to approve? I guess I have to wait for that. Any revisions? Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the March 13, 2017 meeting as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is carried to approve the minutes of the March 13, 2017 meeting as presented. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the March 21, 2017 meeting, building tour and PTA meeting as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion is carried to approve the minutes of the March 21, 2017 meeting as presented. Next is the approval of the consent agenda. Are there any items a board member would like to have considered separately?
List of those?
I'm sure you'd.
It's all a joke.
It's a joke from many years ago.
When I started 8 years ago, we had a member who pulled the list of bills every month. If not, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda consisting of the personnel report and financial statements consisting of the list of bills and summary as presented in the packet of materials?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Purcell?
Aye.
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried. The consent agenda has been approved as presented in the packet of materials. Next up is the recommendation for action is a bid 2017 work truck recommended by the Director of Business Services. Is there a motion to award the bid for a 2017 work truck to Bill Stasek Chevrolet for a total cost of $28,998.36. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Purcell?
Aye.
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried to award the bid for a 2017 work truck to Bill Stasek Chevrolet. Next is a bid for a snowplow blade service body recommended by the Director of Business Services. Is there a motion to award the bid for a, I love these, Boss Super Duty Straight Blade Snowplow and Stahl Challenger Service Body to Triangle Fabrication and Body for a total cost of $15,186?
Second.
Any discussion? Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Purcell?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried to award the bid for a Boss Super Duty Straight Blade Snowplow and Stahl Challenger Service Body to Triangle Fabrication and Body. Next is a bid for paper. Is there a motion to award the bid for paper for the 2017-2018 school year to Paper 101 for an estimated cost of $46,407.55?
Second.
Any discussion? Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Purcell?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried to award the bid for paper to the 2017-2018 school year to Paper 101. Second reading of Policy 1150, Community Relations, Citizen Communication with the Schools and Board, recommended by the Policy Committee. Is there a motion to adopt revisions to Policy 1150 regarding citizen communications with the schools and the board?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Just a quick comment to add that we're going to continue to discuss it at the next Policy Committee meeting and further revise it as the direction of the committee, and we'll bring it to the board appropriately.
Thank you.
I also would just like to clarify, because I know we'll talk about it more at the Policy Committee, but I believe the question at the last board meeting that was raised was about timing of posting those communications onto the agenda. Just as clarification, a couple of Policy Committee members did reach out to me, and they wanted me to clarify that board members do receive those communications in as real time as possible. So if communications come in over the weekend after the agenda has been posted, those communications are shared directly with board members. So those communications are read and received have an opportunity to be read by board members prior to the board meeting. What it becomes difficult and what's spelled out in the policy is the timing of posting it to the actual agenda. There, just for consistency's sake, there was a recommendation that there be a time specific so that everyone was treated similarly in those postings of the agenda, and whatever doesn't get on one month's agenda simply will be posted to the next month's agenda. But those communications, for example, if someone emails John Miller over the weekend, Pam comes into the office on Monday and does share that with all board members, so they are received prior to the meeting in the evening.
Thank you, Gary.
I prefer to keep it with the cutoff of the posting, just because that way you have a definitive date and give yourself some time. So I don't know whether you're going to come back with a recommendation, but I think you have to have the date. We run into, you get something at 7:30 in the morning and you don't get to it. And then you got posted by 7 o'clock that night. That's just not fair to everyone.
I would agree. I think there needs to be a cutoff at some point. That we can't be getting emails 5 o'clock the day of the meeting. And I think tying it to the agenda is a good idea. My own view.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion is carried to adopt revisions to Policy 1150 regarding citizen communications with the schools and the board. Next is second reading, policy 5133.1, students, exemption from physical education, as recommended by the Policy Committee. Is there a motion to adopt the revisions to policy 5133.1 regarding exemption from physical education?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried to adopt revisions to policy 5133.1 regarding exemption from physical education. Next is second reading of policy 2050, administration, board secretary, as recommended by the Policy Committee. Is there a motion to adopt revisions to policy 2050 regarding board secretary?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried to adopt provisions to Board Policy 2050 regarding Board Secretary. Next is a second reading of Policy 8341, Internal Board Operation, Duties of the Secretary of the Board, as recommended by the Policy Committee. Is there a motion to adopt revisions to Policy 8341 regarding duties of the Secretary of the Board?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried to adopt revisions to Policy 8341 regarding duties of the Secretary of the Board. Next is the second reception of visitors. During second reception of visitors, comments may relate to any agenda or non-agenda item. Same guidelines apply as during the first reception of visitors. Please stand, state your name and attendance area.
Any new cards?
How's the basket? Okay. We have a couple of announcements, dates coming up. Thursday, April 13th, meet and confer strategic plan committee meets at 7 a.m. here at the Longfellow Center. Tuesday, April 18th, the policy committee will meet at 7 a.m. at the Administrative Service Center office. Thursday, April 20th, we have the Board of Education coffee with the staff, 7:30 a.m. at the Lester School. Monday, April 24th, a special meeting workshop regarding the 2017-2018 tentative budget, 7 p.m. here at the Longfellow Center. Tuesday, April 25th, Pierce Downer School building tour at 6:30 p.m., followed by the PTA meeting at 7 p.m. Monday, May 1st, is a special meeting reorganization of the board, 7 p.m. at the Longfellow Center. And Monday, May 8th, will be the next regular board meeting here, 7 p.m. at the Longfellow Center. Board will now meet in closed session. Is there a motion to move to closed session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district? Litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the district has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the district finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the closed meeting minutes. Discussion of minutes of meetings lawfully closed under the Open Meetings Act, whether for the purposes of approval of by the body of the minutes or a semi-annual review of the minutes, as mandated by Section 2.06. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Pam, would you please call roll?
Member Deal?
Aye.
Member Lupescu?
Aye.
Member Miller?
Aye.
Member Purcell?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye. Motion is carried. The board will now move into closed session after a short recess at 8:45 p.m.